You know, we're in a critical time right now. We know that it's election day, and it's the most important election of history. It's the most important election of history. It's an awesome time to be alive, because Jesus is coming real soon, and He's preparing us. And you know, there's a lot of people that don't understand the ways and what's going on. They don't even understand what's going on in this country, you know. And judgment is coming, and then exit, but first judgment. And you know, I've said this over and over, God is exposing the goats, those who are rebellion. Those who are rebellious, He's exposing them so they become sheep. The nets are out, the harvest is ripe. It's time to get in before you get left behind. But judgment is coming. But the good news is, it doesn't matter where judgment comes or not for us. Hallelujah. Amen. The wrath of God won't touch you. So there's a preparation right now which is really happening. And there is so much I want to share, but I can't share it all. We don't have all night. But what I have is called the Cup of Suffering, the Book of Joel. That's J-O-E-L. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. The Book of Joel. Verse 28, chapter 2. Come on, the Holy Ghost is supposed to tell you things to come, right? Hallelujah. Chapter 2 and verse 28. Would you read it with me? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Does everybody understand that? He's talking about the Holy Spirit being poured out. That men and his maidservants and men servants and servants of the Lord would have dreams and visions. That happened on the day of Pentecost. Ever since then, things have been happening big time. That's how the church began. It began with the Spirit. When Jesus paid the price, the blood always goes first before the Spirit. The blood before the Spirit. That's why when you repent, it activates the blood. Does everybody understand that? It activates the blood of the Lamb. So the blood always goes before the Spirit. So when you repent and you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit has access to you to fill you and baptize you afresh in the Holy Ghost, that you can become that new creation where old things have passed away and all things have become new. Where the scales come off of your eyes, the hardening of your heart, where things begin to happen, where you begin free by the anointing of Jesus Christ. Everybody with me? Go to verse 29. Let's see. Verse 30. And I will show what? Wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Now understand this. We just had an eclipse where the moon was blood. Amen. Sometimes you really got to dig deep to find out what's happening. The next moon eclipse will be with blood, will be 2007. The number 7 means complete and perfect. Okay. When Jesus took his disciples up and he was transfigured in the Mount of Transfiguration, it said after 6 days, 6 meaning 6,000 years, and then the 7th meaning he would return. Amen, meaning complete and perfect. So in between that 6th and 7,000th year, he's coming. We're in it. We're in it. We've already begun the birth pains, beginning of sorrows. The next thing is tribulation. The next fulfillment of the Feast of Prophecies is called the Feast of the Lord. It's called the Feast of the Trumpets. I'm sorry, Feast of Trumpets. There's 7 feasts of the Lord. Okay, and right now we're getting ready for the 5th feast, which is called the Feast of Trumpets, and that's when the church is going to be removed. Only Jesus can fulfill those feasts. But trumpets always means when they blow the trumpet, it's always a representation of warning, warning. When the priest blew the trumpets, it was a representation of warning, gathering, and battle. And right now, you and I are in a big battle. In fact, not only in this year, but yesterday's battle was easier than today's, because tomorrow's battle will be harder than today's. Has everybody got it? It's going to increase and increase and increase until evil gets to the max and righteousness gets to the max. And we're getting there right now. And if you think about it, what's this election over? It's really not about politics, is it? See, who you're going to vote for is who you promote. And what you promote, you'll be charged with. Because it's called eating the delicacies of the wicked. So those who are promoting abortion, same-sex marriage and one world order, they will have blood on their hands. Judgment will come if Carrie gets in quickly, because it will show where the American people stand. Does everybody understand that? Judgment's going to come no matter what, but it's going to come quickly. It'll come in a different way. Now see, God can alter things, can't he? And the only reason why he hasn't come already is because he lost too many children. Because too many of the body of Christ is sucked up in the world, caught up in New Age movements and all this other religious garbage. They really don't have a relationship with the Lord. They can't hear his voice. They don't know how to get in his presence. They don't know how to seek his face. The Bible says, test all things. They read the horoscopes every day in hope of something. And they bring curses on themselves. And they wonder why they can't get away. Or why the devil steals their money. Or this, whatever. We are at a critical, critical time. We are on the cutting edge. Total cutting edge. Jesus could come any moment. You and I are going to live to see it. We're going to see things happen. The towers was nothing. It was just a wake-up call for this country. The man of God and men of God and women of God, they were there trying to tell people that was going to happen. I know a man personally who was down there 2 hours prior to the towers coming down, who's had over 140 visitations from the Lord. Personally, I know him who was down there telling everybody those towers are coming down. The Lord removed them out of there 2 hours later, the towers came down. God is on the move. And there's a cup of suffering. This suffering that you and I are about to receive and what we've been going through is about denying yourself. There's a suffering that's got to happen. This fulfillment of prophecy in verse 28 has already been fulfilled. And I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You know, there's such a, in that arena of religiosity where people don't know about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, where they don't know how to get in. And that's why the Bible says the letter kill us, but the Spirit brings what? Life. Oh, hallelujah. He says in verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into light before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe me, judgment comes so that people can get rescued. You know how many people get saved after... Look at how many people got saved after the towers came down. Churches were filled. The problem is they got complacency. Their hearts became hard and they turned away. Not all of them, but many of them. That whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance. Now, Mount Zion is here as a representation of the church of Jesus Christ, the Spirit-filled church. And Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance. As the Lord has said among the remnant whom the Lord calls. So we see that there's two arenas. There's the spirit. There's the church that's manifesting the body of Christ right now. Now let me share something with you. The Lord is first going to come through the church before he comes personally. Is everybody with me? He's going to come through his body before he comes personally. You're going to see great revival and things begin to happen. You're going to see judgment. You're going to see boldness come on the body of Christ. It's already happening where people aren't going to care. The only purpose is rescue. Rescue and rescue, because this life that you and I live right here on this earth is so temporary. Dreams and visions are going to increase depending where your heart's at. So prophecy must be fulfilled. Does everybody understand that? It must be fulfilled. Remember, Jesus came and fulfilled the Old Testament, didn't he? He fulfilled what the prophet spoke. He fulfills it, and he's going to continue to fulfill it. And no man, no devil, no imagination, and no fear is going to stop it from coming. It's coming, and it's coming. And if you're not right with God, you better get right. Hallelujah. Go to chapter 3. While we're in the book of Joel, while we're at Joel's place, in verse 9, would you read it with me? It says, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for what?
War.
Say what?
Prepare for
let me tell you, you're fight. You got to fight. There's a fight. There's a fight right now over this office of president, isn't there? I mean, the body of Christ has been praying. Everybody I've run into, everybody's saying, have you gone to vote yet? Everywhere I've gone, I said, have you gone to vote yet? Are you going to vote? It's important. He says, proclaim this among the nations and prepare for a war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them what? Come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Because it's not about a physical fight, it's about a spiritual fight. Assemble and come all you nations. And that doesn't mean countries. It means ethnic. And gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, which means valley of decision. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come down, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Yow. You and I are to be preparing for war. Like I said, God is going, the Lord is going to come through the body of Christ first before he comes personally. Amen? Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Go to Zephaniah chapter 1. Glory to God. Just a few books over. You know, 7 days before the towers came down, the Lord spoke to me and he said, in fact, I taught that day in the Day of the Lord. And I was sitting and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and he said, Guy, there's coming a point and time right now where they're not willing to receive, behold, the kingdom of God, but they will receive, behold, the day of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit came all over me. And he said to me, I want you to teach tonight, because I didn't know what he wanted to teach for Bible study, the day of the Lord. And as the day of the Lord was taught that night, 7 days after that teaching, the towers came down. Seven meaning complete and perfect. God always is symbolic. There's so many things in the Word of God. Everything in the Word of God is symbolic. But without the Holy Spirit, you'll interpret this word like a carnal mind. Carnal man who goes to school and understands that one and one is two. But in the Spirit, one and one is not two. It's totally different. Oh, hallelujah. Let's move this chair out of here. Glory to God. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 14. Would you read it with me? The great day of the Lord is near. That means judgment. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the what? How many were there? High towers. I'd say that this kind of like was almost like what happened, wasn't it? Is this what he's actually talking about? Well, the Word of God is past, present, and future, isn't it? It's not bound to one specific day. Not that it's not, he's not speaking of that day. There's going to be a great day of the Lord that's going to come, and it's going to be devastating. But this is, remember, the Word speaks about precept upon precept and line upon line. But those two towers that came down was also a reminder of this scripture which will be fulfilled. Is everybody with me? Verse 17. I will bring distress upon men and they shall walk like blind men. Think about that day when those towers came down. It was dark and gloomy. They couldn't see, could they? All the wealthy and all, I mean, you got to remember what came down. It was all about money. In that arena, that was the god of this country, was money. Those two towers represented the trade. It was global trade. Global money was affected by those two towers, which is the god of this world. And they were brought down. Because America's eyes began to focus on money instead of their creator. And I'll bring distress upon the men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like refuge. Neither shall their silver nor their gold shall be able to what? Deliver them. It ain't about money. You can't buy your way to salvation. In the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. Now that's got nothing to do with me and you, because you and I will escape the wrath of God. But we certainly may be here. We certainly may be here. I mean, I don't really care. Can't kill something that's already dead, right? If you're dead, you're dead. Remember, we're born again, so you had to die, right? Hallelujah. So we've got nothing to worry about, do we? Nothing. Nothing at all. We're just supposed to do the will of God, aren't we? Dead man can't die. They're already dead. So the devil can only... When the devil starts attacking you, say, take your best shot, I'm already dead. The only thing he can do is send you home. Praise God. You're going to return anyways and kick his butt. And you won't be alone. Remember, first judgment, then rescue. First judgment, then rescue. Go to Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Let's see, this is year 2004, right? Praise God. You know, in the year, I think it was the year 2000, when it really hit my spirit that there was a very possibility that you and I could be gone in the year 2007. It's very possible. Can't make it an absolute. Don't know exactly what's going to happen. God can change his mind. He can prolong it, whatever he wants to do. But I personally believe this will be our last president. The next one will be the dictator. It's very possible. That's just my belief and interpretation, and I'm getting ready. And we need to be ready, aren't we? The Bible says be ready in season and out. Everybody sees what's going on through the world. Come on, man. It's not getting any better, is it? It's getting worse. Something's got to happen. God isn't going to sit on his throne and let the children just do whatever they want. Remember, he sent Jonah, didn't he? To Nineveh? Right? Ever see that cartoon with VeggieTales? Jonah was all, come on, kill him! There was one little fish left and you saw the fire coming out. Boom, get that last one. Kill him! Jonah wasn't very forgiving, was he? But God was merciful. Merciful, wasn't he? So right now, Jonah is being spread. The prophet, prophecy is being fulfilled. It's actually the spirit of Elijah. Because he's coming before the great day. Right now, the body of Christ is involved in the spirit of Elijah. He comes before the Lord. In fact, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, didn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1, would you read it with me? This is a word for today, I believe. Come and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will what? So if we're looking at this, it's a very possibility that after 2 days, he's going to revive us, right? Amen? And on the third day, he will what? Rise us up. That we may what? Live in his sight. Let us know Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. He is going forth, is established as the morning. He will come to us like the what?
Like the rain.
Rain and like the latter and the former rain to the earth. That's revival. That is revival. We're getting ready. In fact, there's revival breaking out. First of all, revival has broke out in Iraq. So it's already happening. The Lord is visiting people and so forth. There's youth groups and all kinds of stuff. Revival is breaking out in Iraq. Hallelujah. And it's going to spread. Because once the gospel spreads everywhere, then we can go home. Let me tell you something. We need to spread it as quick as we can so we can get out of here. This is not our home. You know, so many people are fighting to stay. Praise God. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's not your life anyways. It's His. The only reason why people struggle is they're still struggling for their own life. Hello? Revival comes after sufferings. It's a possibility that these 3 days may represent 3 years. Amen? I really believe that this is the word of the Lord today, for us now, in the year 2004. In Matthew 26, simple teaching tonight. Preparation. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is saying, get your house in order. Get your house in order. Because you know neither the day nor the time that I'm coming. But remember, He's coming through His body, then He's personally coming. Hallelujah. So we got to let them flow through us, don't we? The gifts and the fruits and miracles and signs and wonders are going to increase. They will increase greatly. He's going to flow through to rescue. Sometimes disasters have to come to wake up people. Amen. Where did I say to go? Oh, Matthew 26. Hallelujah. And verse 47. Would you read it with me, please? And while he, Jesus, was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he's the one who sees him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and kissed him. Greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, he did no longer call him brother. He said, friend. Friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. The reason why I brought this up was because Jesus, here's Jesus, he's in the garden, right? He knows Judas is coming because he's daddy. He knows everything. He's in the garden and they come to get him. He knows his betrayer is coming, kisses him and so forth. And he's willing to surrender because he wants to fulfill prophecy. Well, Brother Peter probably got in the way again. You know, because he loved his Lord and he was still struggling with the arena of the things that had to be fulfilled in the spirit, and he was wanting to fulfill his flesh because he didn't want to lose the Lord personally. So he pulls out his sword and cuts off the dude's ear. And Jesus is standing up there going, come on, Pete. Don't you get it? I got to fulfill the prophecies. He picks the dude's ear up, slaps it back on his head. heals the guy, right? Why? Because then it would cause a big uproar, wouldn't it? When you have all kinds of stuff going on, Jesus said, don't you get it, Peter? I must fulfill prophecy. Come on, he said, I could ask for 12 legions of angels. Well, that's about, in a legion, there's 2,000, 3,000 angels. I mean, he could have done whatever he wanted to do. But what did he have to do? Fulfill prophecy. And the reason why I brought this up, and I'm going to bring it up again, is because prophecy has to be fulfilled, and I don't want you to be led astray or caught up in the entanglements and affairs of this world. Prophecy must be fulfilled, and it's going to be. And we're in it right now. Right now, we're in it. It is a great time to be in it. It's a great time to be rescued. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So prophecy, what? Must be fulfilled. Praise God. Go to Jeremiah 25. Judgment, then exit. Hallelujah. Man, hallelujah. On that day of exiting, I'm sure, we're going to know it, you know that. We're going to know. It's going to be like, man, you're going to get ready to say exit, stage what? You're going to be able to see ya. Glory to God. You know, when Jesus was on the cross and he went into the earth, the graves popped up and they laid out there, didn't they? They didn't come alive. They laid out there. Right? 3 days. Then when Jesus rose, they went into the city. And they witnessed the resurrection of Christ. They witnessed everybody in the city. Oh, hallelujah. So why wouldn't we know ahead of time? You know, you and I may be hanging tough and all of a sudden, poof, see some graves open up. We might only have 2 days left. You got to remember something. The rapture is not just to remove the church from God's wrath. It's to rescue the people that have been left behind. Everything is to rescue. We're all brothers and sisters. Even the sinner is your brother and your sister. They just don't know it. Amen? They don't know it. We all come from God. That's why we must be born again, right? Born again. But born into the Spirit. Some haven't been born into the Spirit yet. It's a bummer to leave our brothers and sisters behind, isn't it? They just don't know who they are. Every one of us didn't know who we were at one time. Somebody tried to tell you about Jesus. Hey, brother! You thought they were only kidding. They were actually your brother. And we all come from the same mother and father, Adam and Eve, right? It's been a long journey. Where'd I say to go? Jeremiah 25. Praise God. I'll get there in a minute. Glory. Jeremiah 25 in verse 13. Hallelujah. So I'll bring to pass on that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, all that is written in this book which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations. So what did he say? I'm going to bring it to pass of everything that's been prophesied. Is everybody with me? Jeremiah 25, verse 13. I will bring on that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, all that is written in this book which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall be served by them also, and I will repay them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. For thus says the Lord God of Israel to me, take this wine cup of fury from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. Cup of suffering. And they will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then I took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations drink to whom the Lord had sent me. Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, its kings and its princes, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, a curse, as it is this day. Ooh, hallelujah. So what was he doing? He was fulfilling the prophecy that was spoken, wasn't he? He was taking this cup of wrath. See, the Bible even tells us in the book of Revelation that they will drink of a wine that will bring delusion to them. They'll be so caught up. You know how many people are caught up in so much money and wealth and self and all the other things? That's a delusion to where they actually think that money can buy their way. Think right now. Look at what's going on. Look at over with the oil. You know, I had one guy talking to me a few days ago telling me, man, but you know, man, oil prices have gone up greatly and I got this and whatever and I got that to do. And I told him it's not about money. It's not about oil. Yeah, well, man, it's about what's pleasing in the eyes of God. What's pleasing in the eyes of God? Well, I don't know how. I shared this before about this estimator that came out to estimate the roof. And I saw that he had a tag on from Texas. So I said, oh, so you're voting for Bush. Well, no, I'm voting for the better of two evils. I was like, So anyways, I waited and let him talk. Then I shared with him what was going on. And I shared with him about the abortions. And it's not about all the oil and the money and all of this other stuff. You know what? Let me share something with you. One party wants to free you. The other one wants to put you in bondage. You know what they want to do? They want to promote more public assistance of welfare. More public assistance. Why? So that people rely on the government. God doesn't want you to rely on the government. He wants you to rely on Him. Amen? The government is not your provider. Jesus is. People go to great lengths to try to get money from whatever. Every time we try to get a grant or something, God shut that door. No grants. He doesn't want anyone's hand in this ministry but His. Because it's all about Him. That's what it's about. All about Him. That's why it's called truth. It's the truth that makes you free if you're exercising it. But if you know the truth and not exercising it, you're not going to get free. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Go to Revelation 14. The cup of wrath is like the cup of suffering, isn't it? Revelation chapter 14. Hallelujah. Praise God. Of course, I wouldn't turn down some drug dealer came by and offered a couple thousand or a couple hundred thousand dollars. I wouldn't turn it down. I'd bless it, break the curse off, and thank God that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Fulfilling the word. Amen. Praise God. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 9. I'm not a respecter of money at all. It's all dads anyways. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Powerful. Powerful. What's he talking about? Let me share something with you. You're either going to submit to the Spirit or submit to the unclean spirit. Does everybody understand that? You're either going to serve the Lord or serve the powers of darkness. One or the other. You know, when I was out using drugs and whatever, and most of us who were out there using crack and whatever, smoking deodorant and tile, soap, whatever it was that was on the floor. Come on. I've been there. While we were crawling on our knees looking for the dope that we just dropped, we were worshiping the beast, not even knowing it. The devil does not approach you and say, "Hi, I'm the devil." He comes to you very subtle. One first thing he wants to do is put scales over your eyes and blind you. Then he starts feeding you with words of that fulfill the flesh. He starts telling you what you've lost, what you used to have, how things were. He always brings you to your past. Then he loves to torment you. Don't you? Hey, let's go to your past and let me tell you what you should have done, but you didn't. And let me beat you up for a while. Then I'm going to bring you to your future and tell you what you're going to receive because you didn't do it then. That's the devil. We serve the God of now. He's now, right with us, in this room. Deliverance and healing is now. Freedom is now. And the choice is ours right now. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 23. You don't have to sing, you don't have to say 14 Hail Marys to get anything. Our Fathers, 16 push-ups, clean the toilets in the church, walk on your knees for 3 days. No, you don't have to do any of that. Jesus paid the price for you for now. Amen? Glory to the Lamb. Psalm 23 and verse 5 and 6, would you read it with me? He says, the psalmist says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That means there's a fight. "You anoint my head with oil, my what?" Oh, my cup. That's called the cup of blessing. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So you got to understand, there's a fight, isn't there? Even there's a table set for you in the presence of your enemies. You just got to fight to get to it. Then you take the cup and drink. There's a fight going on. He said, prepare for war. You know, we have a powerful teaching called Casualties of War. If you're not in the battle, you become a casualty. The day you stop fighting is the day that the devil has access to you. And I'm talking physical fight. I'm talking spiritual fight. Everybody understand that? You must fight. You've got to fight, no matter what. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Luke 22. Cup of suffering. Ooh. Praise you, Lord. Luke 22. Is everybody there? Luke chapter 22 and verse 14. when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. What did he say? Take the what? Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And surely the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. In this arena, the devil is always going to have a betrayer to try to get to you. He always has people set up that don't even know they're being set up. Deception is Satan's greatest weapon, and fear is his power. The devil is always trying to set someone up for you to prevent you from doing the will of God. If he can't get you one way, he's going to try and get you another way. That's why you must do spiritual warfare every morning before you leave. You must bind, blind, mute, and deaf those powers of darkness and put them in their place so that you can walk about, being about the business of the Lord. That's why people become casualties, because they don't know how to fight. Then they wonder why they get tempted and can't win. They stop. Is everybody all right?
No.
Praise God. So even Jesus already knew his betrayer was there, didn't he? He knew. Believe me, your betrayer is lurking. And you don't even know who it is. And he doesn't either. Hallelujah. So Jesus chose to have the Last Supper with him. It was called the cup of the new covenant, because he was fulfilling the old and bringing a new, wasn't he? Amen. Would you turn to John 18, I'm sorry. John 18. How many times did God tell you he's getting ready to do a new thing with you? Next thing you know, you got a huge trial, because your betrayer is right there. Every time God's trying to do something new with you, spirits of powers of darkness show up. They come in many forms. Religious, rebellious, fear, anxiety, stress, pride. They start activating everything they can. They send the whole family. John 18, verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things, he knew all things. Amen? We talked about this already. That would come upon him, went forward and said to them, because they were looking for him with torches and weapons and lanterns, and Judas was there again. This is the same scene, but a different view. And they asked him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he had said that, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. So all these dudes came in with all these lanterns, and they said, "Where's Jesus of Nazareth?" He said, "I am he," and they all went, I had to relight the lanterns and everything else. "Yo, where are you?" You think they would get it, you know? But God didn't let them because he had to fulfill prophecy. So he said, "I am he," and they all went flying around. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." They probably said, "Please don't say your name. Don't say I'm he, okay?" The guys were all shaking the dust up, looking for their swords, trying to get a match from somebody. And Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he." They were, "Oh, no!" "Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be what? Fulfilled, as he spoke. Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchash. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Shall I not drink the cup that my Father has given me?" Then the detachments of troops and the captain and the officers and the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. He had the power to wipe them all out, didn't he? But he drank the cup of suffering so we could drink the cup of salvation. Go to Psalm 116. So I don't want you to be discouraged as things begin to manifest and unfold in this country, in whatever way it's going to happen. We are to be prepared in season and out. We've had more and more warnings, haven't we? I've had people share with me that the same things that we've been preaching, they've been hearing it all over. I don't get out much, so. It's nice to know that we're all in one accord in the body of Christ. In Psalm 116 and verse 12, "What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I will take up the what? Cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the what? Death of his saints." Ooh. That means you're going to drink that cup too. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now we know that we could not drink the cup, the same identical cup in the sufferings that Jesus did, but we will drink that cup. We will have a part of that cup of that suffering. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verses 12, starting at verse 12, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he what?" Oh, hallelujah. It's called pride. Pride. Personal reverence into a deadly end. "No temptation is overtaking you except such as is in common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to what?
Bear it.
Bear it." God always makes a way of escape. Always. No matter what. He always has a way of escape and a plan for me and you. Every time something begins to happen. So would he have a way of escape for me and you when the wrath of God comes? Yes. "Therefore, my beloved, flee from what? Idolatry." So he's saying, listen, These are the only things that are going to prevent you from being able to escape. He says, flee from what? Idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of what? Blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to what?
Demons.
And not to what? God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with what?
Demons.
You cannot drink the cup of the what? Lord and the cup of demons. Everybody say, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. In other words, you can't serve two masters. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? That's like tempting God, isn't it? Amen? So you and I must be careful. Because even as things begin to unfold and begin to manifest in our lives, temptation is going to increase. There are people who have been walking with God for a long time, and all of a sudden you find them in adultery. I mean, things are happening everywhere. You know, my suggestion to people that when they're weak, stay home, shut the door, and lock yourself in and pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen? I always tell people, if you're miserable, go pray. Don't tell nobody you know Jesus. That's not a good witness. I went to the chiropractor the other day. I mean, I usually see him on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, something, you know, every few weeks after football. I go in there, I lay down, I break the curse off that bed. By the blood of Jesus, I'm not picking up no demon over there. Those things that try to have you go back every week. And I was talking to him about some of the things that was happening, this, that, and whatever. So anyways, I shared with him about coming out to play football. Hey, come on out and play football. I mean, the guy needs to get a little bit in shape and so forth. But, you know, you could just sit in these places and you hear so much talk about things that are going on, you know. You hear it. You can go anywhere. You know, like I said, I don't get out much. But anyway, so, you know, I'm sitting here. I'm just, you know, you hear people talk about things. You see how people are acting. You see, even they know it. Even they're not right with God, they know something is happening. They know it. You know, I mean, you can go down to anyone and talk to them and ask them, what do you think? Is something about to happen? Yeah, there's something in the air. No, there's something in you. That's the problem. Now the man. Praise God. We cannot drink the cup of demons. Amen? And the cup of the Lord. Touching accursed items is drinking the cup of demons. Hello? Touching accursed items is drinking the cup demons. He says you can't serve both. You can't serve the flesh and serve the spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Sufferings of temptation, the cup of demons is the worldly way. Can't drink both. Go to Matthew 26, please. Glory to God. Bless your holy name. You know, it's so cool in how God brings things across your path. I've run into many believers who have backslidden so badly. They've gone back to worldly ways. Fornication, drinking, smoking, whatever. God says it's an abomination if you build on what you've been delivered from. Cause an abomination. Lusting, all of these things. Jesus says, I'm coming for a blemish-free church, a blemish-free bride. The Word tells us that we're to come out from among them and be separate. We're to be the temple of God. And this last latter-day rain is going to pour out. And the anointing is going to pour out so greatly. Man, we've got to be clean. We've got to be humble. And we've got to die to self. Oh, hallelujah. In Matthew 26 and verse 36. Is everybody there? That Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. What did he say? Sit here. In other words, be still. Okay? That's the first thing that you and I must learn to do, is be still. And he took with him Peter and two of the sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Then he said, stay here and what? Watch. First you become still. You must learn to be still. By being still allows you to hear. Then he says, now I want you to be still and what? Watch. I'm just sharing these things because this is going to be so important from this day on for you. You must learn to be still, and then you must learn to be still and watch. He went a little farther and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass me by, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? He said, watch and pray lest you what? Enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the what? The flesh is what?
Weak.
So he said, sit here and be still, right? Then he said, be still and watch. Then he said, couldn't you fight? Couldn't you fight? You couldn't even watch with me for an hour? He said, couldn't you fight? I told you, fighting is going to be the number one thing that you and I are going to have to do. We're going to have to fight. He says, what does he say? The flesh is what? Weak. But the spirit is willing. Willing. The spirit is willing. You've got to cooperate with the spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Again, the second time he went away and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. You know, he was wanting them not only to watch what he was doing. He wanted them to hear what he was doing. He wanted them to understand the cup that he was about to drink for them. He wanted them to also see the things that they would have to fight also. And that would be the will of God or the will of the flesh. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he what? Come on, read it with me. So he left them. Oh, let me tell you something. When you cannot be still, when you cannot be still and watch, and when you cannot fight, you will miss God every time. Every time. And you'll find yourself into temptation,
and starting over again. And one of the things that we do not want to do right now is miss the move of God. We don't want to miss what he's saying, and we don't want to miss his counsel, correction, and direction. And we want to be able to see. See, when he said, be still and watch, means you've got sight. You've got sight.
Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us go. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Oh, hallelujah. Again, three things that you and I must do in this period of time. We must be able to sit still so we can hear. We must be able to be still and watch. And we must be able to fight and watch. We don't want to miss God because we will fall into the hands of the betrayer, Satan, and his kingdom. Everybody understand that? Matthew 20. All to God be the glory. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20. The mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him, from Jesus. And he said to her, what do you wish, sister? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. I mean, that's a mother. You know, she wants the best for her kids, you know. Goes to God and said, hey, let them sit one on the right, one on the left. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said to him, we are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup. Hello? And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. Ooh. So he said, you're going to drink this cup. It's called the cup of suffering. It's called temptation. It's called rejection. It's called accusation. You're going to be accused. It's called lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. That's this cup that we are sharing with him. He said, you're going to have to drink it. Of course, when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them all to himself. He said, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And those who are great exercise, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Now he's talking about humility. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did, not come to be, not to be served, but to what? Serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, you must give your life for a ransom for many also. Turn to Mark 16. You will surely drink of this cup. Oh, hallelujah. Mark 16:16. I think we all know this scripture pretty well. Mm-hmm. 16 through 18, would you read it with me?
He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be what?
Condemned.
Condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will what? Cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. It says that we'll drink anything deadly, and it won't hurt us, right? That cup you're about to drink or have been drinking, it's not going to hurt you. But it'll remove you so that Christ can have his way. So that you can cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 53. Sweet Master. Sweet Master. You know what we've become now? Do you know what a cup bearer is? A cup bearer is one who drinks the cup for the king. He has the cup before the king drinks anything. His cup bearer drinks in case there's poison in it. So the king lives. And the cup bearer dies. Well, you and I are now cup bearers of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 53, would you read it with me? Who has believed our what? Report. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they have made his grave with the wicked, or with the rich at his death. Because he has done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That was the cup he drank for me and you. And I'd like to close it. Matthew chapter 10. The cup of suffering. Never forget the price he paid for you and me. There's a price to walk with the Lord. You must pray the price. You must warfare for the price. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. You must come out from among them and be separate. For the price. You must flow the opposite way compared to the carnal mind and the carnal world. And verse 32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Let me ask you this. Those who are voting for abortion, one world order, and same-sex marriage, you think that they are confessing Jesus Christ? No, they're not. No, you're not. And those who are coming against it, are they confessing Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. See, we think that we just got to confess it by what we say. It's not about words, it's about deeds, isn't it? It's about how you act. It's about what you do. The world is not looking at what people are saying all the time, are they? Neither is God. Sometimes the Lord says, all right, that's enough. I heard all of that. Now show me. I'll never forget when I cried out, oh, Lord, heal me and deliver me. Rescue me from this addiction. Help me. And he said to me, are you want to get off of drugs or you want a new life? Well, I tried to get off of drugs. It didn't work. I guess I need a new life. And I wanted a new life. I wanted a new life. And I was willing to do whatever it takes to want a new life. Then he said, okay, now show me you want one. Show me you're willing to do whatever it takes. Show me you're willing to separate yourself. Show me. And when you do, I'll sup with you. And 2 months afterwards, I was totally freed and delivered and healed. And it was over with. Oh, hallelujah. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But or whoever what? Denies me before men, him I'll also deny before my Father who is in heaven. See, the devil's not stupid, is he? Do you know how many people are who say they know Christ are now denying him through this country because of their vote? See, we need to let them know that God is a God who forgives if they voted incorrectly. We need to let them know so they can repent and the blood can wash them. So that they can escape the wrath of God. And verse 34. Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but what? A sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. I want you to understand something. The cross, your cross is his cup. Has everybody got it? And the Bible says that you will partake of his cup. I want you to look at the cross in a total different arena tonight. That's the cup that you're drinking. The cup of suffering is the cross. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. Whoa. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He receives you, receives me, and you receives me, receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, as surely as I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Cup of suffering. Everyone's drinking of it every day. It doesn't stop. Your fight, your temptation, all of those things are coming against you. But you must fight, fight, and fight. You cannot give up, no matter what it is. Don't worry about losing your jobs. Hello? Money can't rescue, neither can that job. You know, I talk and counsel with people all the time, especially people bound by drugs and alcohol or whatever it may be. Sometimes they got to give up that job. Sometimes God's going to start a whole new career for an individual. Some people have lost loved ones and whatever, or whatever it may be. But believe me, God is in a brand new life company, you know? He's in a new life industry. He's got a whole brand new life for you, always, every day. Every day. The Bible says, pick up your cross every day. So many people can't let go of some of the associates they've had. Whether it be ex-girlfriends, boyfriends, or friends, or whatever. You know why? Because they're not willing to drink of the cup of suffering. And when they do not drink of the cup of suffering, they are denying Christ. Like I said, the devil's not stupid. He's working in sly ways to try and get people to deny Christ. He said, if you abide in me, you'll obey my commands. We are at a critical, critical time right now. It's powerful to be alive here right now. Just think about it. He chose me and you to be alive at this time, to see all of these crazy things happening and all the prophecies being fulfilled. Hallelujah. We could take off any moment. I could. Glory to God. Exit stage left. You know? Beam me up, Jesus. You know? But there's a job we have to do. Remember, the Lord's going to come through you first before he personally comes. But we must deny ourselves. We must be willing to die. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We honor you and we bless you. Lord, help us to get through this. Strengthen our inner man. Renew our soul and crucify our flesh, that we may drink of the cup of suffering, and that we may celebrate the cup of victory with you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen.